This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are in a series entitled Destined to Win. On the count of three, I want everyone to say destined to win. Here we go. One, two, three. That's it. 2 Corinthians, the second chapter and the 14th verse, the first part of that verse has been our foundational text for the entire series. It says, now thanks be unto God, which not sometimes, but what class, always causes us to triumph where? Okay, we're going to try that again. Now thanks be unto God, which not sometimes, but what class,
always
causes us to triumph where? In Christ. There. So we understand the principle that if I put God at the top of the list, that he'll take care of the rest of my list, right? And so it's important that I make sure that Jesus is at the center of everything I do in my life, all right? And because of what Jesus has done for us on Calvary, we are called to conquer and we are destined to win. You are called to conquer and you are destined to win, regardless of the situations you go through, regardless of any trouble, any challenges, anything that happens, all right? It may take you by surprise, but it hasn't taken God by surprise, and God already knows what he's going to do in your life and in your situation, all right? So my objective today is to get you to a point in faith where you have such a firm conviction of the word that quitting is not an option. One of the things that you'll always hear me say is that when quitting is not an option, victory is inevitable. The only ones in Christ that lose are the ones to give up. You have to learn how to keep fighting. You have to learn how to keep going. The Bible teaches us to endure hardship as a good soldier. Like, I've got to keep doing this. And one of the big keys to winning in life is overcoming challenges. Now, truth be told, we don't like challenges. Truth be told, we'd rather not deal with challenges, right? But challenges are a part of life, all right? God never promised us that we wouldn't go through things, but he did promise us, those that are his children, that he would deliver us out of them all. All right? Psalms, the 34th chapter and the 19th verse, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them, what class? Out of them all. And so no matter what I go through, no matter what happens in my life, we serve a God that has made a commitment to us that he's never going to leave us, that he's never going to forsake us, that he's always going to be with us. And even in your loneliest moments, you got it? You got to understand that you're really not by yourself because he's right there with you. And so I want to talk to you today about three things that we need as we face challenging times. You got it? Because, you know, challenging times can be difficult, especially when they take you by surprise. You know, you ever been going about your life? You got it. Sometimes we say going about our day, but just been going about your life. You ain't fooled nobody. You ain't done nothing wrong. Everything's going good. And all of a sudden, boom, a challenge shows up. And you ever had a challenge show up and it wasn't even your fault? You got it. And those can be the toughest challenges to deal with because you're like, well, dog, I didn't do nothing, you know, and those kind of things. But it is what it is. And so I want to help you as it relates in life to overcome challenges. And so I'm going to give you three things that you're going to need to win in life as you face challenging times. Let's jump into it. Everybody say number one. All right, number one, the first thing that you're going to need is the right perspective. That's the bottom line. The first thing that you're going to need is the right perspective, all right? We can't always control what happens to us, but we can control how we respond. Isn't that right? Yeah. So we have to, and based on the perspective you have, you got it, it depends on how you respond to the situations that you're going through. And I believe that we have to have a perspective of faith. The Bible teaches us in the book of Romans that the just, those who have been declared righteous because of the blood of Jesus, that we live by faith. And so you have to understand that in challenging times, you must manage the pressure of the moment, all right? When you first find out something, when you first hear about something, when something has happened to you, when somebody has done you wrong or somebody has lied on you or just whatever, immediately what wants to happen? Our emotions want to go haywire, right? Our emotions want to, oh, is that right? Well, I got something for you. No, you can't go that way. Or you start saying, well, after all I've done for you, you can't go that way. You got to learn how to manage the pressure of the moment, that even though this has taken me by surprise, it has not taken God by surprise. And if I submit my will to his will and my way to his way, right? And watch this, and stay in line and in within lane of what his word says, and everything's going to be all right. You got it. And that is so important in life, because when things don't go our way, especially if you're highly emotional, and I'm not knocking that, everybody's just got different emotional levels, but if you're highly emotional, if you're not careful, you'll immediately say the wrong thing, think the wrong thing, and do the wrong thing. Does that make sense? And so you have to learn how to manage the pressure of the moment, all right? 1 John 5:4, and we're talking about having a perspective of faith, that no matter what it looks like, I'm trusting God. No matter what it looks like, I believe God. No matter how tough this is or how much this is taking me by surprise, might have, in the quote-unquote, knocked me on the floor, so to speak, I believe God, I believe his word, and he's going to get me through this. All right. He's not a man that should lie, nor the son of man that should repent. If he said it, he's going to do it. If he spoke it, he's going to bring it to pass. Right. 1 John 5:4. Help me, class. It says, for whatsoever is born of God does what? Overcometh what? The world and the world system. So that's Satan and all the crazy stuff. He says, well, whatsoever, or you could say whosoever, that's you, has been born of God, overcometh the world. Here we go. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our
faith.
Even our what?
Faith.
So no matter what I've got going on in my life, it is my
faith
that's going to see me through.
Yeah.
No matter what people are saying, it is my that's going to see me through. No matter what's going on in the job, it is my
faith
that's going to see me through. And so you have to understand that it is your faith that's going to see you through. Faith in this word. Faith in Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides, that he's always going to be there to help you. And so you have to have the right perspective. You have to have a perspective of faith. So faith demands that God not only be your source, but he be your only source, right? And so we thank God for jobs. We need to work a job and that kind of stuff. But your job is not your source. God's your source. Thank God for money. Hello, so we all need money. Isn't that right? Yeah. And so, but money is not a source. It's a resource. Now, we need resources, but we don't fully put all of our trust in money. We put all of our trust in God. Matthew 6:33. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these other things will be added unto you. So I don't chase paper. I chase Jesus. Come on, somebody. I don't chase stuff. I chase Jesus, right? You got it? Well, that's easy to say because you got a lot of stuff, but all I ever did was chase Jesus. I've never chased stuff. I've only chased Jesus. And in chasing Jesus and keeping my heart right and treating people good, you got it? And those kind of things, God has just blessed me. And God is no respecter of persons. However, he is a respecter of faith. So the same thing that God has done for Lady and I is the same God that'll do it for you in the room and you online. And that's a good place to clap right there. Yeah. You know, God will fill any bag you give him as long as you give it to him in faith. You know, and I really begin to think about that, and I'm a person that I'm very thankful. I'm just a thankful person, man. I can't tell you how many times a day I just tell God, thank you. Thank you for the good life that you've given me. Thank you for the ability to communicate. Thank you for the anointing that is on my life. Thank you for my amazing family. You know, and I'm always just thanking God. You know, we're driving down the road yesterday. We went to UNC Charlotte because, you know, Hannah has committed there, and so we went just to walk the campus and, you know, do those kind of things. An amazing school. And we're driving back on Saturday morning, and, you know, it's just a beautiful day outside, and the trees are blooming. It's just, I mean, it seemed like the sun was hitting right. It seemed like the sky was the right color. You understand what I'm saying? You ever had the moments where you just look outside and you're just like, man, God is just good. You understand? It doesn't even mean everything in your life is going good, but God is just good. And you understand that if God is good, everything else will be all right, right? And I'm just thanking God for his goodness, watch this, in the earth and in my life, right? And one thing that I've learned is that to the degree that you have this attitude of gratitude, you got it, that you just walk in integrity, that you keep your heart right, that you live by faith, that you're a giver, right? But tithing, watch this, is just the first step in stewardship, right? Y'all know that, right? You know, that tithing, watch this, will set the supernatural, and God will empower the 90, but if you waste it, praise the Lord. Does that make sense? Yeah, so I've got to do the right thing in every area of my life, right? So God will fill any bag you give him as long as you give it to him in faith. So what you have, I told you this last week, what you have right now, everybody say right now. And where you are, everybody say right now. It is not final, all right? Don't listen to the devil. It's always going to be like this, or this is the most we can do, or, you know, my retirement is going to look like this because this happened in my life. Don't listen to what the enemy said. Well, Pastor, you don't understand that, I don't have the 401k that I once had, or I don't have this, or I don't, but you have a father who has cattle on 1,000 hills. The silver is his. The gold is his. You understand? He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provided. Now, let me ask you, is there anybody in the room that can attest that he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides? Has he ever provided for you? All right? Yeah. Well, everybody say he's the same God. So he's not going to stop now. He didn't bring you this far just to leave you. You got it? And so no matter if trouble shows up in your life, you got it. The same God that brought you through before is the same God that's going to bring you through now. And it's the same God that's going to keep going no matter how old you are, through your 20s and your 30s and your 40s and your 50s and your 60s and your 70s. And your, because he's not limited to our age. Come on, somebody. But if we're not careful, that's the way we think. Oh, man. So the key is learning faith. Faith starts where the will of God is known, and we understand that his will is his word. Everybody say his will is his word. So I have to learn faith, I have to understand his word, and then I have to apply it in my life so I can get results. And I don't know about you, but I'm a results kind of guy. Like, I need to see some results. And remember, it takes the same process of faith to believe for a piece of bread as it does a loaf of bread, so you might as well believe for the loaf. Does that make sense? Yeah. Now, do I have any dreamers in there? Any big dreamers in the house? Okay, I got some big dreamers. Now, I'm a big dreamer, always been a big dreamer. You got it? Like, I've always believed big. You got it? Thank God for growing up in church. And, you know, my father was a pastor. And so I always heard how good God was and how, you know, he's just a big God. So I think that helped me even more. You got it? That I've just always believed that God could do anything. Like, if he can make all of this, he can do anything, right? If he can make the whole world in 7 days, surely he could take care of your life and he could take care of you. Surely he could keep you in health. He could keep your mind right and keep enough money in your bank account, right? Surely he can keep you, right? You understand what I'm saying? So I've always been a big dreamer. You got it? You know, Lady and I, years ago, we were the kind that we would drive through big neighborhoods. You got it? I mean, we just meeting each other, right? Like, we ain't got that much money, you know, but we got Jesus. We've got the word. We've got faith, you know, and we would drive through and look at, I remember one time we were driving through looking at these big, nice houses, but it was through a gated community. You got it. And I don't like to use the word scared. You got it. But I think I was a little scared to go through that gated community because I didn't want the popo to come and get me. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just trying to drive. But it was part of the process of faith that you learn to visit your future on the canvas of your imagination of what your life could be like. You understand? You got it. And it's so important that you get exposed to things because exposure expands your expectation. When we talk about living the good life and eating the best, wearing the best, living the best, driving the best, that's just whatever the best is for you. You got, it's not about comparison, it's not about competition, but it is whatever you think the best is for you, because one person's best is different from another person's best, but we respect everybody's best. We just want to make sure that you understand that with faith and through the word of God, you can live your best life. Does that make sense? That's a good place to clap right there. You got that same neighborhood that we drove through that I almost didn't want to drive through. Years later, we built one of our, what was really our second custom house, right? But watch this. It never would have happened if I never believed it was possible. And what is the thing that you really want God to do in your life, but you're teeter-tottering as it relates to believing if it's possible in your life? You have to understand that you have to have the right perspective. You have to have a perspective of faith. And let me tell you what kind of perspective it has to be. It has to be a full-time perspective. It can't be a sometime perspective. It has to be a full-time, like, I'm always believing God. I'm like, so this dream that you might have, or this goal that you might have, or something that you're believing for, you can't just believe for it part-time. You got to believe for it full-time. You got it morning, noon, and night. You got to believe for it when things are looking good. You got to believe for it when things aren't looking good. looking good. You got to believe for, when everybody's patting you on your back saying you can make it, and you got to believe, God, when everybody walks away, like you have to make it up in your mind that this thing I got going on is between me and Jesus. You got to me and his word. And if I believe, not some things, but all things are possible if I can only believe. Does that make sense? Yeah, people tell you, you know, well, you won't, you probably won't be out of debt until you're this age. And I don't believe stuff like that. You got it? Because I believe in the supernatural power of God to change my situation. Do you know that you could be out of debt this year? You got it? But if you're not careful, initially your mind's like, oh, I don't know about that, right? Because you're trying to figure it out on your own in planning. And I believe in planning, and I believe in figuring out on my own, but I'm already doing that. You got it? And now I believe that God is going to put his super on my natural and make some things happen in my life. Does that make sense? If thou canst believe, not some things, but all things are possible to him that believe. So I have to have the right perspective. All right, everybody say number two. Man, this is important. You got to be around the right people. You got to be around the right people. Your circle makes you or your circle breaks you. That's the bottom line. Your circle makes you or your circle breaks you. Birds of a feather do what? You become like who you spend time with. I read this last week. Proverbs the 13th chapter and the 20th verse says, become wise by what? Walking with the wise, right? Hang out with fools, and what's going to happen? Watch your life fall to pieces. And so I'm telling you, you got it. Your circle matters. You got to be around people of like precious faith. You got to be around people that genuinely love you. You got to be around people that are going to push you. You got to be around people that are going to correct you if you get off in faith. But one of the problems is we live in a culture now. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about Christians where nobody can correct you. Ooh, can I just put on the brakes and talk about correction for a minute? You got it. It's amazing as a pastor, you know, and I don't need you to clap, so please don't. But as a good pastor, I'm talking about a pastor that lives holy, that walks in integrity, that's generous, that's a giver. You got doing all the right thing. You think this pastor should be able to correct anybody who really says, that's my pastor. But it is amazing how, watch this, I'm an amazing pastor until I say, hey, can I talk to you about something for a minute? You said this, and just so you know, that was out of order. And, you know, hey, I love you. Don't take anything by it. And the Bible says this, and I'm taking you to scripture, right? And those kind of things. And then I'm doing it, man, I love you. Got any questions? I just want to make sure we're good. But, you know, it's part of the distasteful part of ministry, you know, that I got to do that. You understand what I'm saying? You know, and then you get an email. This is not happening, bro. I'm just giving examples, right? Praise the Lord. Y'all starting to think this. Something happened. You got it? No, it didn't, and I'm not speaking anything into existence either. You got it, but I can no longer be a part of WLCC. Why? Because we don't like to take correction. Not understanding whom the Lord loves, he corrects, he chastises. And it's amazing, you understand, how we just, if we're not careful, we think we know everything. You got it? We think we know everything. Talking to one of my good friends several years ago, one of my best friends. You know him. He preaches here. I only have a couple. You got it? And we were, it was a heated conversation. We weren't fussing, but we, you know, my friends, we can have a heated conversation. And we hang up. You got it? And tomorrow we talk. Hey, man, what's going on? Not much, man. What you doing? All that, you know, because there's a genuine relationship there. You got it. We can get on each other at the end. Okay, love you. Love you too. Bye. Bye. You know, but then the next day we're fine, right? You got it. And so, you know, one of my friends said, you know what your problem is. Now, I got one or two options. I can listen. Come on, somebody. And find out what he thinks his perspective of my problem is. Or I can I'm helping somebody. This ain't even my lesson. Or I can automatically put up a defense mechanism, put up a wall that says, I don't care what you say for the next 10 minutes. I'm going to say what is my problem. But everything you say now is not communication, which is discussion with the intent to agree. Now it is just getting my rebuttal ready. Oh, so you think you're perfect. I got some stuff on you too, Joker. You understand what I'm saying? Like if you're not careful, you got it. You won't allow anybody to speak into your life. You got it. And so I was like, well, you know, yeah, tell me. And so he started telling us, okay, you know, I understand, you know, how you would say that. And then I explained, he said, okay, now I see where you say, but watch this. But when I walked away, you got it. I said, okay, now that's something I need to take the prayer, because Lord, if that's something that's an issue with me, I need you to help me fix that in my life, because I want to be the very best person that I can be. Does that make sense? Yeah, and so there's several kind of people in your life that you're going to interact with. The first kind is confidants. Everybody say confidants. And you will have very few of these in your life. One, two, three, you know, we don't use the word lucky if you're blessed. You understand what I'm saying? And these are people that are for you. You understand? I mean, they are for you. You will run across very few of these people in your lifetime. These are people in your life that love you unconditionally. And what I've learned, it is hard to run into people that really love you unconditionally, all right? They are into you. They are about you. They're going to be with you for the long haul. If you get into trouble, they're going to come to rescue you. They're going to come to the jailhouse. They'll come to the crack house. They'll come to the whorehouse. I mean, they'll come to whatever kind of house that you need. Watch it. You can count on them. Come on. Did he say that? Yeah. Because David could never have been who he was without Jonathan. And you need a Jonathan in your life that's always going to be there for you. And so I pray you have at least one of those in your life. Confidants, all right? Then the second one is constituents. Constituents, they are not for you. They are just, they are for what you are for. So as long as you are for what they are for, they will walk with you. They will work with you. But never think they are for you. They're just what you're for. It is important to know this because if they ever find someone else that will further their agenda, they will leave you and hook up with them because they were never for you. They were just for what you were for. And you got to know the difference. And in life, I didn't always know the difference between these people. You know, when people told me they loved me, I just believed it. And I just thought, you love me the way I'm going to love you. You got it. I thought if you say you love me, then that means things come with that loyalty and looking out for you and those kind of things. And I had to realize there's different sets of people. And don't be mad about any of the people in your life. Just make sure you understand the different places and positions that they are in your life. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so you have confidants, you have constituents, and then you have comrades. These are people that are not for you. Neither are they for what you are for. They are just against what you're against. They will team up with you to fight a greater enemy, but don't be confused because they will only be with you until the victory is won. They are like scaffolding. They come into your life to fulfill a purpose, but when the purpose is complete, the scaffolding is removed, but the building is still there. And so the Bible says that people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge, right? So the reason I share this with you is to give you knowledge so you don't fall apart the next time somebody walks out of your life. You got it. Understanding that maybe that person who walked out of your life was never for you in the first place. You got it. And let me just help you. If people can just get up and walk out of your life, let them walk. Don't spend another moment trying to make somebody love you. Come on, somebody. Go to lunch with you. Talk you in. No, don't do all that. 1 John 2:19 says they left us, but they were never really with us. If they had been, they would have stuck it out with us, loyal to the end. In leaving, they showed their true colors, showed they never did belong. So if people can just get mad at you and leave and don't want to have nothing to do with you, then watch this. Bid them farewell. You got it. Keep loving them and move on with your life. Does that make sense? In the back, let's put up point number one. Let's rehearse this class. All right? So if I'm going to overcome challenge in my life, what do I need? Point number one? All right? What do I need? Point number two? The right people. And then what do I need? Point number three? Yeah, the right profession or confession, but I used a P to make sure that it all matched, all right? I need okay, y'all understand. Y'all know I got issues, all right? So you can make it with your mouth. Your miracle is in your mouth. Matthew 12:37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So my words make me or my words break me. Right? Proverbs 18:20, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it do what? Eat the fruit thereof. Most people have not made a connection between what they say and what they have in their lives. So my life is filled with what I say out of my mouth. So that's why I don't say much. You understand what I'm saying? Remember, months ago, I told you that I'm always trying to discipline myself and just be the best. And I said, you know, we were on the fast, you know, and I pretty much got off of social media. I'll jump on every once in a while, like I got on last night to put a church post on, do something like that. I no longer scroll. Like, that ain't me. You understand? So if you say, Pastor, you see, I did not see it. Unless you were the one right there, well, above, under what's on your mind, I didn't see it, right? And one thing I said is I no longer have an opinion about anything. That's a good place to be, and that's a good way to live your life. You got it? Because when you live, when you don't have, you know, I don't understand this, and this ought to be this way, you become very critical, and you don't realize it, but you're messing up your heart. And watch this, not overnight, but over time, when things start not working the way you want them to work, you got it? If you watch this, you will be able to trace it back to what came out of your mouth because what was in your heart. Does that make sense? Ooh, it's real quiet. I must be right where I need to be. So my life is filled with what I say out of my mouth. My words are more than sounds. They are spirit and they are life. They frame my world. Hebrews said, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed, how? By the word of God. So just the way God framed the world with the words of his mouth, you frame your world with the words of your mouth. Let's go to Ephesians 4 and 22. Y'all get anything out of this? That ye put off concerning the former conversation of the, let's try this, of the old man. Is it up there? Yeah, of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and ye be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, right? Is it up there? Yeah, okay. That you put on the new man, right. So there's the old man and the new man. Once I give my life to Christ, the new man shows up. But how many know sometimes the old man still tries to hang around? Right? Which the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, all right? You know, for we are members of one another. Not only put away lying, just quit talking about folk. Quit gossiping. 26, be ye angry and so watch this. Be ye angry, so get upset, yes. Sin, no. But watch this in the same verse. Before the day is out, you better fix whatever you were mad about. That's exactly what it says. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole, watch this, steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So the only thing that I should ever say is something that's edifying. Watch this. If, just let's use social media, all right? If on social media we did what the Bible said and only said that which was edifying, we probably wouldn't see any post. Think about it. Because most posts are not edifying. There's some, you know, some of us, but you know, we ain't the world. I know we are the world, but we ain't the world. You understand what I'm saying? Right? When corrupt communication comes out of my mouth, I tie up the hands of my angels and now I give place to the devil. Murmuring and complaining decommission my angels, and now they can't speedily go forth to do the will of God for my life because I got the wrong thing coming out of my mouth. But if I learn how to only say something out of my mouth that is according to the word and only ministers grace to the hearers, watch this, now I have put myself in a position that every time I say what the word says, angels are on assignment to go make it happen in my life. Does that make sense? All right, so my words have an activating effect. Everybody say activating. I think I got those out there. Do I got those? Did I get those to y'all? My words have a. Oh, I went to number two. Praise the Lord. My bad. My words have a anchoring effect. When I say what the word of God says, it begins to hold everything in place in my life. All right, number two. My words have an activating effect. When I speak to the mountain, it has to move. Put up number three. My words have an acquiring effect. I'm going to have what I say, so I got to watch what I say. All right? Number four, my words have an agreement effect. So if any two can get an agreement, as long as it's according to the word and my heart is right, it'll happen. Do you not know that if your heart is not right and you go get an agreement with somebody, it will not come to pass? Because you have to make sure that my heart is right for it to be in agreement, because everything starts with what's going on in my heart. All right? Number five, my words have an authoritative effect. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. All right? So that's not a natural thing, but that's a supernatural thing. So at the end of the day, I got to watch my words. You got it. Everybody repeat with me. I must watch my words. Come on, say, I must watch my words. Now look at your neighbor. No, don't look at your neighbor. Just playing, all right? All right? So we reverse the reports of men. Let's stand up. It's early. We're going to make this confession and we're going to get out of here, all right? We reverse the reports of men by rehearsing the promises of God. We reverse the reports of men by rehearsing the promises of God. See if you can catch it. We reverse the reports of men. Don't matter what they say. We can reverse that by rehearsing the promises of God in our lives. And so we're going to make this confession, and then I'm going to let you go home. We've already done our appeals and those kind of things online. I want you to make it. Y'all the family, come on. So we're going to make it. But hear me. From today forward, I need you to watch what's coming out of your mouth. Somebody texted a lady the other day, and what was it? I ain't going to tell you. And so she said, so. I said, okay, I won't talk about it. She's like, okay. You know, next day, no, I won't talk about it. I ain't got nothing to say. I don't have an opinion. I do not care. Why? You know what I care about? I care about what I pray for you every single day. You got it. I pray that your marriages are getting better and your finances are getting better. I pray that you're experiencing more peace than you've ever had in your entire life. I declare that the joy of the Lord is coming straight from the throne of God right to your heart. I declare that healings and miracles and deliverances are taking place in your life. You got it. I declare that you love this church so much and that you're growing so much that you go get somebody and they come in and people are coming from far and near and everyone that comes, their life is getting better. And watch this. And the city of New Bern is a better city because of Without Limits Christian Center. You understand? I'm praying for my son who's in the Navy in California that because I show favor to everybody, that somebody I don't even know is going to show favor to my son. I'm praying that when my daughter gets to UNC Charlotte, there's already going to be somebody that she's going to have the right professor, that she's going to be with the right people. You understand what I'm saying? So you think I got time to talk about foolishness? You think I got time to criticize something? You think I got time to talk about anything else? There's a reason. I'm not being funny and I'm not being prideful because y'all know I'm not that kind of guy. But there's a reason when you look at my life, it is the way it is. And the same life I have is the same life you have. You got it? Same ability from God on me is the same ability of God on you. And so I have disciplined myself that I'm not going to say anything. And sometime when we do that, how many know the enemy runs overtime in your brain? Well, you should say this, and well, you have a justifiable right. No, I don't. Because everything I've been believing for and everything I've been praying for, I could care less about that. You got it? But what I love is when you tell me, Pastor, a miracle showed up for me. When you tell me, Pastor, that thing that was that bad report that I got from the doctor, I went back and they said they saw it, but they say they don't see it no more. You got it. But Pastor, we've been working on some things for debt freedom, and we had a 7-year plan, and Pastor, in 6 months, we're going to be totally debt free. See, those are the things that I'm concerned about. All right, okay, all right. Y'all ready?
Yes.
Repeat after me. Father,
in the name of
Jesus, I declare that I overcome every situation with disciplined faith because I know my supernatural future is at stake. Thank you, Father, for the courage and the wisdom to see beyond the limitations of the natural realm into the realm of the spirit where my help comes from. All right, let's get into this. Everybody say, I declare every delay will work in my favor. I declare every setback will be a setup for something greater. I declare my circumstance can't circumvent my blessings. I declare favor is on every side, chasing me down. I declare peace is my armor, faith is my anchor. I will not be shaken, moved, or distressed. I will rise to the occasion. Surpass every goal. Reach further. Defy average. For I am designed and destined to win. I declare I am a child of the Most High God. I declare I am the head and not the tail. I declare I am above only. and not beneath. I am never alone. Come on, I'm never alone. I'm never forsaken. I'm never by myself. I'm never lonely. I'm never abandoned. For God is always with me. Therefore, I declare, I'm destined to win. I'm destined to win. I'm destined to win. I decree it. I declare it. It is so right now. Right now. Right now. Now shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. So what we say is so. So hold on to your faith. Stay away from a bunch of carnal stuff. David said, I would have fainted unless I would have believed to see the goodness of God and the land of the living. And so just hold on. Pastor, it's tough. Just hold on. Pastor, I don't see a way out. Just hold on. Pastor, even my family don't believe in me. Just hold on. Pastor, it don't look like that. A lot of dreams God has gotten me. But this one, Pastor, this one, this is, ooh, just hold on. Pastor, I've never thought I would be in this type of financial situation at this age in my life. Just hold on. Just listen to me. God is greater than anything that you go through. And if you will get rid of all the carnality and just hone in, you don't need me to call a fast. Call your own fast. You come on, somebody. Text your husband or text your wife, or if you got a family group, tell, hey, y'all, I'm going to be fasting. If y'all want to fast with me, I'm going to be doing it Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And you pick it. We're going to fast every day till 2 o'clock, nothing but water. Are we going to just do fruits and veggies, just whatever. Declare your own fast for your own family and say, we're going to sacrifice, and we're going to see the supernatural power of God show up in our lives. So no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, just hold on. Weeping may endure for a night. But joy, it always comes in the morning. Give the Lord a big hand. Praise God. Bless you.